Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble Reacts. England beat the Aussies and the Irish qualification hopes are over. It's Saturday, 14th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Welcome one and all to Ramble Reacts. We are off the back of an England victory. It feels odd, Jim, to do a Ramble Reacts when England have just played and won. Usually we're in the studio, but we are in our respective homes.
We are, yeah. Should we be doing it easy? Probably not. Probably not for a grizzled 1-0 victory over Australia in a friendly.
For the sake of the neighbours.
If we'd beaten them 4-0, I think we might have busted out an easy, but it doesn't feel like it maybe warrants that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I did tweet an easy for those who follow me. So if you want the easy, follow me on X. Speaking of X, Jim, formerly known as Twitter, this from John Hyde. Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell, hashtag thoughts and prayers with you both as you try and complete a Ramble Reacts tonight after England won Australia nil.
I would refute the difficulty of that, because I think there were actually a lot of positives for England, I have to say.
Clean sheet,
yeah. Lewis Dunk, I thought was very good in that clearance he had to make. And generally, yes, with what he was tasked with, he was very, very good at it. For me, the standout performer would be Trent Alexander-Arnold. Played in the sort of inverted role where we're kind of becoming accustomed to him playing. And I thought he was superb. I thought he was England's best player. He had a huge hand in the goal with a ball that came into Grealish. And I think, you know, he probably won't be in Gareth Southgate's starting 11 firmly in his mind. But he has shown that he's a really, really good option if he needs to mix things up.
Yeah, he was very much playing as a midfielder for most of it in that first hour or so before Kieran Trippier came on. And it was interesting to see England sort of try and do that, because a lot of the time it was a back three for England, wasn't it? With Fikayo Tomori being asked to play centre-half and also right-back at times. You know, yes, sort of right centre-half with Trent being given licence to go into the midfield. I know he does that a little bit at club level as well. Does old Trent. But you're right, I thought of all the people who played and don't regularly start, which, let's be honest, was pretty much everybody in that
pretty
starting
everyone.
11, I know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, even Henderson, the captain, you know, people will think, why on earth was he captain and playing and whatnot? But, you know, he has been a regular, but not a starter. But I thought Alexander-Arnold, yeah, he looked good. He does that. He can switch the play just within an instant and so accurately as well. And it's Beckham-esque. It really is. I remember the days when...
There's no other phrase for it, really, in an England
context, I remember going to watch Beckham and England a few times at Wembley back in the day, and it's such a good thing to have up your sleeve when you can switch the play, because often, you know, that's where the space is. Of course, you know, if the ball's on on one side and it can get a bit congested, then boom, off he goes. And a couple of times that Grealish might have taken a better touch, obviously with the goal he did. But yeah, Alexander-Arnold, I think, is a good option. I think if England are to play him, I would put him just in that midfield, because I think that is a place where England are a touch light, and at right back they're very strong, of course. And I think it looked a bit better when Trippier came on, and Australia got a lot of joy kind of going forward at times. But I think Alexander-Arnold, in a midfield three, and it will be a three if he's in beside Declan Rice, which you would think. I think that's not bad at all, and he offers something that you could argue no other England player does.
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, you've made the point very passionately before, Marcus, that Calvin Phillips keeps getting selected despite not playing at club level, because he does exactly that thing. He offers something that nobody else does. And actually, if that becomes a really sort of essentially chronic issue where he barely plays again all season, and it's ridiculous to expect him to even be kind of fit enough to play at a tournament, then perhaps Alexander-Arnold is there being groomed as the alternative to that. And we often kind of, like, you know, look at these games and think there may be a little bit of, if not a pointless exercise, then a kind of not entirely pleasant one to watch. But this is what you gain out of it, right? This sort of experimentation is where the value comes. And I thought, you know, Alexander-Arnold, as I say, brought some value. It was nice to see Jack Grealish play as a sort of, as a real senior man. You know, he took responsibility with the ball quite a lot, and I sort of enjoyed that. And also, Ollie Watkins' performance was really strong. Thought he, I worried if he might have kind of blotted his copybook a little bit with a miss in the first half. He sort of took it a little bit too wide, and you feel like you'd have scored that for Villa, but he made no mistake with what Jack Grealish thought was going to be his goal.
Grealish didn't look happy, did he?
He didn't look
particularly happy all the evening, I might say. I mean, we talked about it's a tricky start to the season due to injury and whatnot.
Yeah, he got a massive dead leg, didn't he? Apparently, and
he
was saying, like, it's the worst dead leg he's ever even heard of. And I guess when you've got that much leg in the first place, you are more vulnerable to leg death.
Yeah, can you get a dead calf, maybe? Not with his.
I reckon he can do it all, mate.
Yeah.
Size
Grealish. I'm convinced from the angle that the ball wasn't going to go in. It would have been very close. But either or, for crying out loud, if Watkins
got
waits
to Nugent
for that, you've absolutely. But I think Jill Scott said, it's like, just get it, just put it in. I just worry about all that. I mean, the only thing is that if he puts it in and he's offside, which of course he was well onside.
Yeah.
But yeah, Watkins did absolutely the right thing. Joe Cole described Watkins' position for the goal as the position of maximum opportunity, which I quite like.
I haven't heard that phrase in a little while.
Did Grealish put it into the... I was going to say the corridor of uncertainty, but he's that close to the goal and the ball is so close to going in. Perhaps that's not a corridor, is it? He's nearly put the ball in the back of the net. But I was pleased for Watkins. I thought he played well. As Joe Cole himself said, he worked the channels. He's busy. He's lively. He can link a bit more than one or two of the other options, which we spoke about on yesterday's ramble. And, you know, he snatched at that one, didn't he, when he went through on goal. I mean, he hit the post. He was unlucky. But Watkins, clearly, in the absence of Ivan Toney, is the front runner, if you will, for that
spot
behind Harry Kane. Yeah, you would say so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we're talking about Watkins as the understudy from an English point of view. I was sort of disappointed that we had the same with Australia and that they didn't call up Cumdog, because I think if you're going to have a young kind of untested defence, really, youth in terms of their experience together, then you want to be playing against the world's best players. And we've missed an opportunity to see what, you know, Carwell, Tomori and Dunk could have done there. But, you know.
I'd forgotten all about him. Did they do some sort of
I forget about him all the time. And every time I remember, I'm delighted, but also like I feel a bit sick.
I know what you mean. I think that's it. Was it not when Australia played Argentina at the World Cup, when they're all sort of shaking hands at the end, he appeared, like shaking Messi's hand. You're like, hang on, was that?
Yeah, he did.
It's just a strange one.
Yes, it
I
was.
I always think...
Oh, yes.
Did him and Lyndon Dykes, like, did they sort of make a pact and
swap
go,
lives?
You play for them, I'll play for this lot sort of thing. I don't know.
Maybe.
But very possible. On Australia, you have to say, Jim, gave a bloody good account of themselves. In fact, they'll go off
they
thinking,
did.
Flip it, how have we lost that game? Now, I would say England were marginally better. The stats, certainly the stats in terms of shots would suggest Australia were, but they hit the post. Great chance, as you mentioned earlier, that Lewis Dunk brilliantly cleared off the line.
Duke had a really good chance in the first half as well. It was really well crafted as well.
Yeah, was it? I mean, the volley was a great effort. Mm. Australia caused England a lot of problems, and I think with under Arnold, Australia have really improved going into the World Cup. I know there was concerns thinking, you know, how on earth have they done it? It was the goalkeeper, what was his name, Redmayne, who his antics in that penalty shootout, of course, managed to get Australia to Qatar. And at the World Cup, they go through to the qualifiers, of course. Great win over Denmark and whatnot, and only just edged by Argentina, who would go on to win it. And then since then, they've had some sort of fairly positive results against some Latin American opposition. But coming into this game, you know, all the cliches are there. Well set up, well organised, worked hard. But I thought they were better than that. They created chances and just couldn't quite put them away. Often for a side who are well-drilled and so on, if you don't have that goal scorer up front, which of course the majority of sides don't because goal scorers are a rare old thing, it was a shame for them that was their sort of undoing. But Jim, you know, you've got to give them credit, have you not?
Absolutely, yeah. I was very impressed with St Mirren's Kai Backus in particular. Maybe sort of doubly motivated being an Australian man playing in Scotland. But he was very, very impressive. They were very, very organised, as you said. Sort of all the cliches were true, essentially. But I think they played it really at the ceiling of that. And they, like you say, they will be kicking themselves that they haven't taken something there. I've felt like they were good for a goal. And there were times as well in the last 10 minutes where I felt like it almost seemed a little bit like England were assuming they were going to close this out. And Australia sort of grew in the game a little bit, made some chances, unlucky right at the end to not get a corner that I think they should have had. And they looked capable of causing England some damage, really. But obviously it wasn't to be. That's
good.
They
looked good at set pieces as well. The Aussies, you know, as I say, they were unlucky and, as you mentioned, you know, had some chance. It was nice to see René Meulensteen in there being interviewed at half-time. He was having a good old... He was just enjoying it, wasn't he? He was just like...
He was, yeah. He was like grinning from ear to ear, just having a lovely, lovely old time.
By the way, I should just say that we've just been passed a note that's saying that the cum dog is currently playing in India. And he tried a Robert Pires, Thierry Henry type penalty last week, or should I say Mauro Icardi, and they fluffed it as well. They messed it up.
Good.
So
good. It's a fitting tribute, isn't it, to get it wrong. Yeah. Again, exactly. Ridiculous that he's not been called up, but, you know, what can we do from here?
Indeed.
We're just the little guy.
We can only just wade in with our opinions. Some of the others who were playing for England tonight who got chance, you mentioned Lewis Dunk there. I think Lewis Dunk looks pretty assured in an England shirt.
He does,
we know that Dunk is not, you know, what is Dunk? He's in his 30s. He's playing the best football of his career. He's not served the quality of, say, John Stones is when it comes to centre-halves. But he's a very functional, very solid, kind of typical English-style defender. We know, of course, that in the last few seasons, he's really learned to play with the ball at his feet out of the back. Tomori, you know, pretty solid stuff. I mean, England were a little bit vulnerable. I think perhaps the personnel, fair credit to the Australians, the way they played, and the tactical setup for England caused a little bit of confusion. I thought Cole Will again, like, did okay. The positions in front of them, you know, if you're looking at, say, Conor Gallagher, who I don't think Gallagher will start for England. You know, I think he's one of probably on the fringes of the squad. I think if you're James Ward-Prowse, even though they're a different type of midfielder, I think James Ward-Prowse will feel a bit aggrieved not to be there. But Conor Gallagher is perhaps a bit more sort of squad filler, which sounds a bit harsh to him because he's a decent player. But I think that's realistically where he's going to be, unless you disagree, Jim.
No, I do agree with you on that. I think actually Gallagher was probably just edged in ahead of Ward-Prowse for reasons I personally am not sure about. I thought he was actually kind of lucky to stay on the pitch tonight. I think if that had been a competitive game, he might have been sent off. He was quite scolzy in the challenge on a couple of occasions. But yeah, I think Carwell had a bit of a mixed evening, didn't he? He had some really great moments and a couple of sort of misplaced passes that weren't so good. But I think it's probably just a young player getting up to speed with playing in the England environment. So I think there's certainly he warrants further inclusion and more of a look. I felt for Jared Bowen a bit. I think the game passed him by a little bit. I think he didn't. Tomori had a similar evening in a sense in that. Essentially, England didn't really use their right flank all that much, and neither of those players had a huge amount to do. So again, hopefully, we'll get a chance to see more of both those players. I would agree. Yeah,
it's a tricky one for someone like Bowen because, as you say, that type of position, you know, you want to do something, you want to create something, you want to score, you want to assist, and if you don't, you feel like, will I get another audition? You know, because it can be quick. Yeah. International football, it is almost like the old trials you used to have, you know, when you're a schoolboy, you know, if you didn't perform or you did, you know, you were in a team and you weren't getting passed to or whatever, then that was your chance. Now obviously Bowen has been called up before, but there is a lot of competition in those places. But I mean, on the other side though, I didn't think Jack Grealish had a particularly great night. He looks a bit off the pace, and obviously moment of quality which would ultimately set up Watkins. Grealish will be in contention to start against Italy, of course. I'm not sure if he will. I mean, Marcus Rashford came on for Grealish, and Grealish, you know, he has, as we mentioned earlier, he hasn't played that much football, of course, due to that injury and whatnot. So he'll be pleased to get some minutes under his belt. But when Rashford came on, you suddenly saw the pace pick up a bit. You know, he was beating his man down the flank. And the one thing, something about Grealish, I think Grealish is a great player. I think he's a really handy player for England to have. He's very, very predictable, though. He always cuts back onto that right foot. And I know people will immediately say, oh, yeah, but how many other players do that? You know, and then people will immediately say, but Iron Robin did okay in his career or something like that.
Yeah.
They're very different wingers. But Grealish, I find that he does that a lot. Now, I suppose, I appreciate that when he's been playing for Manchester City, you know, that's where he will have learned to, you know, you make sure you keep the ball. But I just, I wonder with Grealish if his fitness is there just to go at the fullback a little bit more, you know, be a little bit more expansive. But then I might be being a bit harsh because we know he can do it. He has been injured a bit and he said he wasn't fit. So I don't know whether he'll start against Italy. I have a feeling that it'll be Phil Foden on that side.
Yeah, I would think so, especially given with, you know, Jack Grealish having this appalling dead leg or whatever it was. I think starting him twice in a week is unlikely, isn't it? So I would think it will be Foden, Kane and one other, I suppose. We don't know. I don't really feel clear about who's going to start on the right.
Yeah, I mean, or he could play Foden on the right, of course, and maybe start Rashford as well. But the point is that Saka's not there. Sterling is not in the squad yet again. There is a chance for them. So maybe we will see Grealish. I mean, Grealish did start against Italy before in Naples, but that seems a long, long time ago now, of course. But was there any other performances, Jim, in the England side against Australia that perhaps caught your eye or concerned you?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we haven't mentioned James Maddison yet, who I thought had a really good game, and he's in an interesting situation because he started in midfield, and for a long time we thought that just Southgate didn't fancy a player like that playing in a system like that. And now I think the danger is that he's essentially playing where Jude Bellingham will play, and Bellingham will start in every important game. So it's an interesting one. But I thought he had some brilliant moments. The through ball for Ollie Watkins in the chance he ultimately couldn't quite put away was absolutely laser guided, exceptional. He was really, really available, really busy. I don't really think he could have done a lot more in the reality of how the game went in terms of, you know, staying in there. It's going to be very difficult, I think, for him to sort of break into the starting 11 for the reasons we've just been over. But he absolutely repeatedly has demonstrated to Southgate in the opportunities that he's had that he can bring a lot of value to that squad.
Yeah, he could have the, I know it doesn't quite work like this, but if you will, he could have the number 12 or number 13 jersey in that squad, if you see what I mean.
But there's so much of that in this team, and it's such a joy, isn't it? Like Phil Foden not necessarily starting. Sterling and Saka not even in the squad for different reasons, but it's still so heartening, isn't it?
I think we don't win.
we
just won, Jim. What are you talking about? Yeah, in a friendly. But yeah, I know what you mean. I think if you're Raheem Sterling, you might be a little bit annoyed that you're not there. But I suppose the argument would be Southgate knows Sterling very, very well indeed. And so
I think this is it.
So there we are.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hello, I am Sven-Göran Eriksson, and you are listening to the Football Ramble.
Elsewhere last night, Ireland 0, Greece 2. Ireland's Euro 2024 hopes were ended by those Greeks. And look, let's be honest, Ireland's hopes were pretty much ended before this anyway. Shay Given described it as a very, very low point. He said it's simply not good enough. Where do Republic of Ireland go from here? I don't know. 5 defeats in 6 qualifiers, Jim. The Kenny project is not yielding any results at all.
No.
If you think about the previous qualification for the World Cup, it was pretty drab. You know, under Kenny, you remember like a home loss against Luxembourg, which was a particularly low point as well. This time round, they're in a group with France and Netherlands. Okay, it's going to be tough. But you've got to do what Greece have done. You've got to just keep on going, see how long you can keep them going for. Because, you know, France have done Greece a solid there by beating the Netherlands 2-1 last night. But they've... But, yeah, I think Ireland lost home and away to Greece? And it started quite well for Ireland. They lost 1-0 at home to France. And that wonderful Mike Mannion save when... I forget who it was from the corner. And everyone thought, oh, my God, we were so close to getting a decent result against France. Here we go. This is it. And you look at those results on paper, and the worrying thing for Ireland is, it's not just you don't qualify, is that you go down the pots. And the pots are crucial.
Yeah.
Absolutely crucial.
Absolutely.
And here they are again, and I don't know that much about I haven't watched Ireland that much and what the conversations are going on there, but you would fear for Kenny and his job as Ireland manager.
Yeah, I think so, given the... it's the lack of progress, isn't it? And I know they're in a difficult spot. Obviously, you know, they've got young Evan Ferguson coming through. Looks like he's going to be an absolute superstar, but that isn't sort of going to be enough. Certainly not now. And
George Weah never played at a World Cup, mate.
Well, yeah. But you just think, don't you, in a situation like this, where do you turn after that? Do you go to someone? Mm. Do you get a grizzled old veteran in? Do you give Fizzer a shout? Do you,
Fizzer! Yeah, that is offensive.
He's probably sending
to
a CV in. I know it's offensive, but what else do you do? What suggestions have you got?
Why would you raise the idea? Not Fizzer. Jedward would be more appropriate than Fizzer. Like, it's outrageous.
Look, we know that he's lurking, and if a job comes up that involves, you know, not exactly working full time, he's going to throw his hat into the ring.
Bloody Nora, Jim.
I don't know how to fix the Irish national team's problems. If you want a serious, serious dissection of what's gone wrong and how to fix it, I am not your man for that. You know that.
You've introduced this idea.
Fizzer was inevitable.
Just say Roy Keane. Just say Roy Keane and we can all move on.
Right. All right, Roy Keane.
There you go. Stick a rocket up them. That's what they maybe need. I don't know. I don't know if they do. You're right. Where do they go? Like it's a shite situation. There's no two ways about it. I mean, elsewhere in the group, you know, France beat the Netherlands 2-1. Talking of rockets, what about that second goal from Kylian Mbappe?
Yeah, I mean the first goal was magnificent. I feel like
first goal. Yeah,
he's such a brilliant player that he'll do this fairly often. He'll score a brilliant goal and then score a like sort of super brilliant goal, and everyone forgets about the first brilliant goal. He's just got so much in his locker. Is he moved into fourth in the all-time top scorers list for France now? And he's what, like 23? Is he? It's phenomenal stuff.
He's still got to catch Olivier Giroud, of course, Jim, which is the gold standard.
He does, of course,
for France goal scorers. Yes. I know what
you
mean.
To bear down on such a handsome specimen?
I can't think of anybody. When obviously England against Australia, you know, it was experimental. It was a bit stodgy, blah 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 blah. And you think, but you know, feeling pretty good about England ahead of the Euros next summer, of course. And then you see Mbappe do that, and you kind of go, yeah.
I just got to hope someone else knocks them out.
I wonder what you were going to say there. Yeah, well, Switzerland did in the last Euros. They did everybody solid.
Exactly.
Let's not go over old ground for crying out loud. Talking of old things, though, Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 125th international goal in Portugal's 3-2 win against Slovakia. Jim, the big takeaway is that only one of his goals was a penalty.
Yeah, huge. So he's, you know, maybe he's finally found the elixir of youth, or the fountain of youth that we know he's been privately looking for in his spare time.
Come on. What is he? In, you know, drinking, ingesting, like goodness knows what he's doing to try and stay young.
Yeah, it would be all kinds of terrifying stuff that we don't really want to hear about. I saw an amazing stat that I can only half remember, but I'm just going to regurgitate anyway. It was the amount of goals he'd scored for Portugal over 30, and it was higher than a lot of nations' top scorers' numbers.
73,
it was 73. That's it. Yeah, 73. You just found it. Look at that. look.
Well, you know, if you're going to remember half of that, you'd incredible. He's only scored 7 goals since he turned 30 for Portugal. 73 goals since he turned 30 for Portugal. As you said, that's more than Harry Kane for England, easily. Easily.
Yeah.
It's utterly absurd.
It's more than Harry Kane will get near. Absolutely mad.
And only 68 of them have been penalties. Old Penaldo. But he
the
got
other
the winner.
Obviously, rebounds from penalties.
That's right, yeah. It is worth remembering. The trouble is, like, because he's such a silly sausage, you know, you kind of want to. You want to take the piss out of him, basically, is what you want to do. And then you see the numbers put in front of him, and you go, my giddy aunt. That ain't bad,
it's
is
his,
it?
There's something about the quality of his character, though, isn't it? He is like Narcissus himself, sort of like reincarnated. It's hilarious how much he loves himself. Like his record speaks for itself. He doesn't need to be so outwardly insecure about it. It feels like he needs the entire world to reassure him about how brilliant he is all the time. It's weird. Mm. And it makes him quite funny, as well as being just this kind of... this figure so good at his sport that it's almost difficult to process him.
Bloody hellfire. Another one. Romelu Lukaku also scored for Belgium last night. Just
bad news for Scott McTominay.
Edging away from Scott McTominay in the top goal scorers charts for qualification. Still all to play for there. But, McTominay's got a little bit to do to get there. Speaking of Scott McTominay, the Scottish FA have written to UEFA to seek clarification about why his free kick goal was disallowed in Spain. They're really not giving this up, are they? Four
They're
gonna steps
ask for
away from them asking for a replay. Yeah, exactly. I mean, was it John McGinn was saying, you know, we needed clarification. I understand there was a bit of confusion, but we can all agree that the right decision was made, though. If it was the wrong decision, I could understand if people were a bit pissed off. But he said, yeah, like, if you look at it, you know, his leg's offside. It's incredibly harsh. And it's like, lads, I know you really want this. I really, really do. Yeah. And the neutral wanted it, blah, 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 blah. It's rightly ruled out, that goal.
Don't lose the next 5 games because you're annoyed about this.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine, oh, dear. Yeah. Crazy. So there we are, everybody. So, I mean, Jim, you know, we are in the right in the mix of international weekend, of course. How are you going to be celebrating the rest of the weekend? A feast of foods from around the continent, perhaps?
Probably just cartwheels. enthusiastic I am about the international break, so I'll probably just be bouncing around.
Yeah,
off the
cartwheels
walls,
and custard creams. Yeah, the Jim Campbell story. Okay.
How about you? You don't have your face paint on.
No, I sort of scrubbed it off before recording. But don't you worry, it'll be back. I am going to the game on Tuesday night for Italy, so I'm looking forward to that very much. Although, obviously, not the weekend, but maybe I might leave the gate open till Wednesday morning. I don't know. We will see.
Huge news.
Well, I haven't decided yet. You know, the country's got to function, and we're in a bad state, so we need all the workforce we can get. Anyway, enough of the bollocks, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to today's Ramble Reacts. Myself, Jim, Pete and Vish will be back on Monday, of course, to talk about the internationals that are happening today and on Sunday. Find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, England.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.